You are listening to a sermon by Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, October 1st, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
What in the world is happening to our country? What has happened to our environment? How did we ever get into this mess? Why do we have to suffer for the mistakes others have made? These complaints may sound familiar, but they were written some 2,500 years ago by Ezekiel, a well-educated priest who had been rounded up with the first group of elite exiles who were deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. While rebuilding his life in Babylon, Ezekiel started giving talks. Jewish tradition says that a group of men called Men of the Great Assembly collected Ezekiel's talks and organized them into a book. Ezekiel's visions were put into three groupings: prophecies against Judah and Jerusalem, prophecies against foreign countries, and finally, prophecies of hope and salvation. Calling some of these visions prophecies may seem a little misleading to modern thinkers because is it really a prophecy if the exile has already happened? But I suspect Ezekiel was following the tradition of analyzing the political situation as he saw it, and then giving his analysis in the form of a prophecy. In a sense, this was Ezekiel's way of warning people that they have to change, even though they are slaves in exile. Things can end really, really badly. In fact, much of Ezekiel's material is about things ending really badly. Today's lectionary reading from chapter 18 begins with a proverb which was apparently popular in Babylon's community of Jewish exiles. The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. This was another way of the exile saying that the exile really wasn't their fault. The exile happened because of the mistakes of the older generations, and so now they, the descendants, the exiles, are suffering because of the mistakes of their parents and grandparents. Might we say they were playing the blame game? I confess that I, too, sometimes play the blame game. I'm rather good at it. I enjoy reading commentators who find ways to blame current politicians in the U.S. and the U.K. for the ills of their nations, even though the situations are far more complex. I read journalists blaming English football coaches who lose, or if the losing coach is popular with the press, then they blame the owners. Some congregations blame declining attendance on the pastor, and so they rotate yet another victim into the job. Some people are quick to blame others at work, even though the situation may be rather more complicated than just the fault of one person. We, as humans, have perfected the blame game, and this is hardly surprising since we've had some practice. The first episode of the blame game came to us from Genesis chapter 3, when Adam blamed Eve for giving him some of the forbidden fruit for dessert, and Eve blamed the talking servant who sold her on the apples or whatever. What that story reveals is that even though we try to blame someone else in order to avoid the consequences of our actions, ultimately, we have to bear both the blame and the consequences ourselves. Neither Adam nor Eve was excused because they blamed someone else. And this is one of Ezekiel's points in chapter 18, and he makes it by giving an interesting, if lengthy, illustration in which individual males from a three-generational family live differing lives. The grandfather was godly, avoiding each of the cited male abominations, but his godliness did not seem to benefit his son, who decided to lead a very different life and enjoy the benefits of committing each of the listed wrongs. As verse 13 says, he has done all these abominable things. He shall surely die. In other words, his bad actions were not excused because of his father's righteousness. Finally, the grandson grows up, observing the bad actions of his father and their consequences, so he decides to live an upright life, as had his grandfather. Ezekiel tells us, verse 17b, he shall not die for his father's iniquity, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was not good among the people, he dies for his iniquity. Now, I do not believe that God ever goes around killing people. I therefore understand the phrase, he shall die, in more of a literary way. Those who act in evil ways, their reputations will eventually be killed off. And yes, their lives may also disintegrate. Ezekiel is telling his fellow deportees that they have a choice. They can continue complaining and playing the blame game, or they can accept full responsibility for how they had lived in Jerusalem and for how they are now living in their present lives while in exile. They, even as exiles, can now return to living in an honest way, even though they're no longer wealthy property owners and are possibly forced to do manual labor, which their bodies are not built for. They should be helping other exiles who are even less fortunate than they, because some in exile were able to rebuild lives faster than other exiles. This chapter raises another enormous topic. How do children overcome the disadvantages they have inherited from their parents? Any child having an abusive father is not going to get a good start in life, at least not necessarily. Is Ezekiel saying that if such a child also grows up to become an abusive parent, like his father, he cannot get away with blaming his actions on his father? I think Ezekiel was saying to his fellow exiles who had formerly been the wealthy people in Jerusalem, yes, your father's actions and those of his generation amassed great wealth through shady means and unfair laws, and their actions quite possibly messed up your generation, which is now sitting in captivity in Babylon. But don't just sit around blaming the older generation. Were you on a path that was going to be any different? Had you been any different? Are you now going to live an upright life? What you now do with your life is up to you. Ezekiel 18 is rich, posing interesting questions. But most of all, I hope that we can remember the chapter's last four words. Turn then and live.